This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Season 7 of GTC, Where Does the Time Go, kicks off right now. Mark Sacchino alongside Mr. Bob Weeks. Bob, how are you?
Good, good. Welcome. This is, it's kind of weird, though, driving in here, and it's like
the hardest
got the winter
time
coat
of
on and the snow's blowing. It doesn't feel like golf season, but it is when you watch TV, when you go to the merchandise show. There's lots of stuff to talk about.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, we, you know, God forbid, I know the PGA Tour doesn't really take any time off other than maybe a couple of weeks in December, but, you know, in November, we wind it down a little, anticipating a slower news season. And then, you know, Hawaii kicks around, PGA merchandise show, which you've just come back from. You know, we kind of get back into things. I don't recall another winter, for lack of a better term, or off season that has as much real news. I remember like the Entertainment Tonight news that we could cover
TMZ.
Over the winter, the TMZ stuff, right, with Tiger issues or VJ's suing somebody and spraying himself with deer antler or something like that. I remember those stories, but I don't remember an off season where there's real news. Like, there's a ton that's happened, not just on the course, off the course, with equipment changes and new deal signings. And we've got Justin Thomas that has vaulted himself to the top of the food chain. LPGA is back and going again. Bernhard Langer's winning. Surprise, surprise. Is this, like, he's what's the Brad Pitt movie where you get younger? You know, the one where you're going in reverse? That's Bernhard Langer. He just keeps getting younger.
Yeah, he's just frozen.
It's unbelievable. Do you recall a winter with this much going on?
You know, the only guy, no, not a winter, no, for sure. There's been nothing like this that I can think of where, as you said, it's been hard news. There's been stuff, not sort of digging in manufacturing stories, all sorts of stories. I mean, the whole Tiger, there's 18 tentacles with Tiger's story, things that are going on, new clubs, new equipment, new coaching. I mean, it's amazing. So, and then Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, we'll get into all that stuff, I know, but it has been a busy, busy time. It just never lets up. And Canadians winning.
We're going to get into as much as we can today here on GTC. We're going to hear from Adam Hadwin. Bob had the opportunity to speak to Adam immediately after his 59, which we're just
after you made the call.
Thank you. So, I don't know. We're right place at the right time, right? That's all that is. So, we had we're going to get into Adam Hadwin's 59. We're going to talk a lot of Tiger, obviously. He is the lead story in the world of golf. Sometimes when he's absent, the fact that he is no longer absent, we're going to get into a lot of Tiger today. This is all in hour one. Hour two, we're going to talk a little Toronto Golf Show coming up in February. We're actually going to have two passes to give away each week to the Toronto Golf Show. And we're going to talk to Brad Parkins, who is the COO of the Canadian Junior Golf Association. 25-year anniversary there.
Really?
Wow. I would never. I know they've been around doing a great job for a long time. 25 years. So we're going to hear from Brad. Winners, Weird, and What is back. We want to thank all our sponsors who are returning. Obviously, Acura, our presenting sponsor, TaylorMade, Adidas, Cedar Bay Golf Club, Muskoka Bay Golf Club. We've got WeatherTech Canada. And now, of course, some new sponsors as well, Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf. Thank you for joining the team, as well as who am I forget? Oh, St. Kitts Tourism Board, a great new sponsor. So St. Kitts is with us as well.
We're going to be doing the show live on location from St. Kitts for the next 2 months.
For the next 2 months. Exactly. Why we're all not in St. Kitts is a little bit of head-scratching material. So thank you for them to joining us as well. So great new sponsors, great returning sponsors. Couldn't do it without them, so thank you to them. So let's jump in head first now, a little news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
And thank you to PEI as well, who's been with us for a very long time. Mark McLean does such a great job. They're coming off a record year in Prince Edward Island.
They had big news, too. They sold, one of the golf courses sold down there, Mill River, which is a fine course. Hopefully we'll get a little news on that a little bit later in the season.
Yes, so, and hopefully we get the same summer across Canada we had last year, because record numbers in the East Coast for them. So good on them. Great place. All right, Tiger's back, but he's missed the cut at Torrey Pines. We will get into that deep on the next segment. But, Bob, just initial reaction to the first 2 days.
Tiger looked still a little rusty, didn't look tournament ready. And there were some good shots, but there were some sloppy shots, and there were some just kind of like brain cramps to me that you don't normally see from Tiger. But, you know, I don't think we're overly surprised that he missed the cut. I think there was, you know, people had predictions ranging from he'll contend to, he'll finish dead last. So, I think you wait. He's going to play 4 times in 5 weeks. I think at the end of that period, we'll measure him. But right now, what I saw is a little bit more like what we saw at the Hero World Challenge. I don't know what you think.
I agree, and we'll jump into it in the next segment, but I do agree with you. Let's take the small sample size at the end of a 5-6 week run here. It's just 2 days, guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we will jump into it. We will hear from Tiger coming up in our next segment as well. This is Farmers Insurance Open, of course. We'll do full leaderboard reports later on in the show, but Justin Rose right now with a one-shot lead over Adam Hadwin and Brant Snedeker there in Torrey Pines in Southern California. All right, speaking of injuries and top players, right now, if you look at the top 10 in the FedEx Cup points list, it is not exactly the who's who of golf. Obviously, Justin Thomas, I don't think anybody's surprised at Justin Thomas. Obviously, this is a huge amount. Like, the fact that he's won as often as he has already in this early in the schedule, that's a surprise. I don't think anybody could have predicted that. But success for Justin Thomas on the PGA Tour is not a surprise to any of us. That being said, where are the big names, Bob? Like, there are people right now in the FedEx Cup top 10 where you're going, okay, the casual golf fan wouldn't know them if they hit them with their car.
Right.
So, you know, there's no DJ this weekend, no Ricky Fowler, and no Jason Day. They all missed the cut at the Farmers Insurance Open. Is this just too early days that it's still January, Mark? Relax, and come the end of the Florida swing, it's going to be back to the usual? Or is there something in the water in 2017?
I don't know. I think you got to give them a little breathing room yet. We're still early in the year. And I think those guys will show up. And I think the closer we get to Augusta, the more you'll see them, the louder they'll get. That's when you can start to tell if Jason Day's back really is a problem, if DJ is kind of having an off year because he's won a major last year. But I think it's still early. But I also think that there's some really good young players out there. And Justin Thomas is the epitome of that. I mean, everyone knew he was a good player. But to see what he's done at the start of the year with those wins and the scores and the things that he's done with his game, I mean, now all of a sudden people look at him and say, oh, yeah, I think this guy might be a contender for a major. Hideki Matsuyama, another guy. People are sitting looking at him saying, yeah, I think this guy might be a contender for a major. It's crowded at the top.
Well, I know you and I both had Hideki circled for 2017 as a guy. Now, it's always the putter that you're kind of a little worried about.
Exactly.
But he's such a good ball striker. And I think you want to talk about putting in the effort, putting in the hours of work to get better. Like, this guy, you know, this is a dedicated young guy. And, you know, prior to maybe this winter, maybe the most underrated 20-something in the game, which is ridiculous when you take a look at the win totals on the PGA Tour, but never got the credit he, I think, deserved until the last WGC victory right at the end of last year. So,
yeah, I still think, you know, you got to take it. If you're looking actually at FedEx Cup stuff, you know, a lot of those points were gained in the fall series where a lot of the big players didn't play. So These guys are just hitting their stride now. I'm still ready for Jason Day to break out and Dustin Johnson to break out, even though this weekend looks
a little. Ain't happening. Don't hold your breath this weekend.
Yeah, they're back doing the Home Depot run for their on Saturday
morning. I don't
know
about you two. Okay, I know there's a lot of equipment deals, and we should touch on this too. Obviously, Tiger has signed a deal with TaylorMade, and it's a 13 club deal. But they're, you know, Tiger, the one thing, you know, for a guy who's changed his golf swing like 1,000 times and switched coaches and done these things. Over the years, he's been very responsible when it comes to equipment changes when you compare him to other top players in the world, like Rory McIlroy, who changes equipment, you know, like he's changing socks. Right? It just doesn't seem to matter. And I think that's been detrimental at times to Rory.
Sure.
Tiger has signed a deal with TaylorMade. Loves the performance so far right out of the gates with the woods. Feels comfortable putting them in action. Going to take some time working with the engineers to develop an iron that he feels is right for him, which I'm sure TaylorMade loves the idea of. 13 clubs in the bag, eventually they're going to get to that. Similar to what he did with Nike, Bob, when he made the flip, right? So he's made that deal. Rory's still experimenting. It seems all over the place. It looks like he's going Callaway way at some point. I don't think that's an official inked
He has not signed anything yet. He's still kind of testing things out, and we'll see if he does sign.
Brooke Henderson has signed an ambassadorship with Golftown over the winter.
Big
news. There's a lot of in the business side of golf. But the one thing that I can't get used to, and I don't know how long this is going to take to get used to, and this is part of, you know, we're part of the Adidas and TaylorMade Golf family here at Golf Talk Canada. But, you know, Adidas globally is trying to or attempting to or has the mandate to sell the TaylorMade golf branch division. And we're starting to see the separation between the Adidas athlete and the TaylorMade athlete. And watching Jason Day walk around in the Nike. He's been a TaylorMade guy since he was an Adidas guy since he was a junior.
Yeah.
I can't get used. It looks so awkward and so uncomfortable. And I think that's why he missed the cut this week. He's not used to it yet. He will get, but he's feeling awkward too. So
it does take some while to get used to those new looks, and a lot of different people when they come out and have changed in especially obviously in their clothing and stuff. But even some of the bags, like he's carrying, Jason Day's got this big Zurich insurance bag now, and that just looks weird. So
awkward.
Lots of strange stuff
out
there. But
you know, on the other side, we're gonna get a Tiger before we get to this break. Though, I gotta say, the best part of that was you text me last year during the Ryder Cup. With why isn't anyone wearing a hat?
Do you
remember that?
That's right.
I was like the things you notice that just kind of go over your head every week watching golf, and all of a sudden someone shows up without a hat on, and you're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
All right. On the other side, we're going to do Tiger Talk. We'll hear from Tiger. We'll jump into our thoughts on Tiger Woods' expectations and maybe what Tiger looks like come 5-6 weeks from now at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This is the debut, Season 7, Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC as we kick off Season 7, and why don't we kick it off even further with more Tiger Talk. Of course, he's back. He's going to play for the next 5 weeks. He's going to take like a 17 or 20-hour plane ride to Dubai or Abu Dhabi. I don't know how smart that is, but I like the fact that he's playing. Going to welcome in now our producer, Adam Scully, as well. Adam, before we jump into Tiger, you just told me something off mic. We got to give a shout-out to your mom.
Her third hole-in-one.
She's got three hole-in-ones.
Isn't that crazy?
My Lord. Good for her.
128 yards.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, she has the plaque and everything already. And
already?
She's running out of room. She's like, speaking of that, there's something I forgot to mention off the top of today's show. And shame on me because I had it in my notes. But I'm excited because we're kicking off Season 7. Speaking of plaques and awards, Bob, congratulations. Yes. The Distinguished Service Award, PGA of Canada, honored you Thursday night in Orlando, Canada night. I sent out a tweet, and I put it up on our Facebook page. I said, to steal a line from one of my favorite movies, when it comes to Bob Weeks and Lifetime Achievement Awards, I think he's going to need a bigger boat. Like, you're running out of walls between you and Scully's mom with hole-in-ones and Lifetime Achievement. There's not enough room on the wall anymore.
You think I'd be dying or something to give me all these awards. I don't know what the deal is.
I did a golf hit on TSN in Edmonton where we're running this weekend. So hello to all our friends and listeners in Edmonton, City of Champions, and they asked me about Bob and his award, and I said, you know, what a pleasure it is to work with Bob and what he's done for Canadian golf business over the years, and yada yada yada. I said, but he's not going anywhere. And I'm pretty sure he's way healthier than I am.
Well, it's a nice honor. Thank you to the PGA of Canada. They're good people.
We're killing this segment here. So you know what? Before we jump into Tiger, before I get your guys' opinions, we go further. Let's hear from Tiger Woods.
What's the level of optimism now as you move to Dubai on the European Tour next week?
Yeah, that's one of how's my body going to handle flights and. Flying out here was something I hadn't done in a while. So now we got a pretty good jaunt, 17 hours. So it'll be good.
Tiger, right over here, Bob.
Just following on that, Tiger, how are you physically? How have you handled the cold weather? What have you had to do sort of What do you have to do to prepare for days like this? I'm sure it's a process. It's more involved than it's ever been.
It is. It is a long process in the mornings, trying to get ready and trying to get warmed up and you know the task and the tall order is to stay warm and stay loose. That's you know, one of the things that I hadn't dealt with. I haven't dealt with at home, and you know, we're in basically a dome down there in South Florida, so we haven't had to deal with cold, damp conditions like this. So it was different. But you know, it's something we've been planning about and thinking about what we need to do and how to layer up properly, how to stay warm. Move around, exercise I may have to do on course while playing, you know, all the different things, how to stay loose. And I did.
Sure.
What do you take away from the last 2 days?
Well, it's frustrating not be able to have a chance to win the tournament. You know, I didn't make the cut, and you know overall today was a lot better than yesterday. I hit it better. I putted well again. I hit a lot of beautiful putts that didn't go in, but I hit it much better today, which was nice. We've fixed a few things while playing today, which was good, and good communication between Joey and I out there while playing, what he's seeing, what I'm feeling, and it was good. I mean, he's rusty as well. I'm rusty, and working as a pair out there, and it's good times.
All right, let's go around the horn here and get some thoughts. I'll give you mine out of the gates. I really don't care how he played. This is not a sample of anything of where he could be or where he's at. I like the fact that he's not in pain. Like, when's the last time we've been able to say that? Now, we did a Twitter poll, and we asked our audience, very simply, does Tiger win in 2017? We have 52% to say yes, 48% to say no. It's split. I still don't think he's going to win. I've also said, though, I hope I'm horribly wrong, but I still don't see it. The one thing I will say, though, is if he's as healthy as he's claiming to be, it now becomes Tiger's choice because his body says, I'm giving you the opportunity to put the work in if you want, which he hasn't had before. So now he has a choice. If he wants to put the work in, maybe there's still a 4.0 that we haven't seen yet of Tiger Woods. Skull, give me a thought on this.
Well, my thought on Tiger, before, you know, this whole hiatus and 2 years ago when his short game was just a disaster, on the front nine on Thursday, if he didn't have a short game, he would have shot 80.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
He hit four of the first nine greens, I believe, and was just hitting it everywhere, but his chipping was very good in that really thick rough. And another, I guess, good sign, you know, he didn't withdraw.
Yeah.
That's something.
He didn't get carted off.
Didn't get carted off. He, you know, and he hit 10 of 14 fairways on Friday, which is more progress from the four he hit on Thursday. So I guess that's a step in the right direction. And as they say, you know, the putts will eventually go in.
Yeah, I still think there's just a ton of rust. I think there's still, you know, you can practice and you can play with your buddies as much as you want down in Florida, but until you get inside the ropes and still you start playing for real, with every shot counts, when you're waiting a long time, you know, you probably don't wait when you're playing at the Medalist. You probably just go and keep playing. As he said, it's not a big problem to warm up, but it's also you got to stay warmed up. So I think there's a lot of issues there that he's just figuring out how this new body is going to play for him, and how he's going to get his head back in the game. And I think, as I said at the top of the show, let's see what happens after these four tournaments, see where he is and see where his game is.
We only have a few minutes left, but I got to throw something at you guys, and I want your opinion. Yes, no, and why? Why? Okay? Because if I got one thing to say to Tiger, I'm saying this: call Butch. That's what I'm saying. Call Butch. Scully, do you call Butch? Why or why not?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you look at his swing, but from, you know, 2000, it was perfect. Yes, his body is different, but his swing just looked more simplified back then. He was obviously a little thinner, a little more flexible, but still, Butch is one of the best, if not the best, swing coaches in the game. Why not?
I don't think he needs to be honest with you. I think Chris Cuomo's got him in a spot where he's got a swing that's not going to hurt his back, and now it's between his ears. I think that's the majority of his
game right now. I agree with
you
there. But the one thing that Butch Harmon does do with some of these guys is I know he keeps things simple, but man, does he install a lot of confidence. And maybe just going back to the womb, you know, just go, you know, he's trying to, you know, be born again on the PGA Tour. Maybe it's not a bad idea. I would call Butch. I don't disagree with what Bob's saying, though, in terms of where his mechanics are and where they've got him in terms of being able to swing pain-free. I agree with all that. But there's something about maybe going back to that partnership. Maybe they can rekindle something. 71% of his fairways, 61% of his greens. I know one thing about this version of Tiger, guys. He ain't going to overpower the golf course anymore.
Not at
so
all.
He better be exceptional from 100 yards in.
And the putter.
And the putter, right? That's and he's not there right now because that's how he's going to win. He's got to win golf tournaments the way a Brant Snedeker wins a golf tournament now. And that's a different version of Tiger, so he better get on it. All right. On the other side, we're going to jump into huge Canadian golf story right now. Mr. Adam Hadwin, a 59, chance to win in the desert last week. He has a chance to win again this week at Torrey Pines. This season 7 kicks off. We debut on GTC.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
This for the 8th person in history to break 60, the 9th round sub 60, and only the 2nd non-American to break 60. Putter back, ball goes down. Adam Hadwin makes golf history and Canadian golf history today on the PGA Tour. That's a 59, 17 under par for the tournament.
Well, I was very lucky, Bob, to be in the right place at the right time to have the opportunity to call Adam Hadwin's 59. And it
was a good call, too.
Thank you, Bob. And it was very hard to not be a homer.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to begin with. I'm Italian. Everything's emotional and we're on our sleeves, right? You know? So it was very cool. And I know immediately following that historic performance, he was getting pulled out a million different directions. But I know you had the opportunity to go one-on-one with him and talk to him about that 59. So let's run part of that interview. This is Bob Weeks, Adam Hadwin, immediately following the 59.
And he is in Palm Springs. The newest member of the 59 Club is Adam Hadwin. And Adam, it doesn't happen very often that you have a chance to make history, but you did that on Saturday. How nervous were you coming up those last few holes knowing you had a chance to shoot 59?
Yeah, no, I was pretty nervous. I had a couple of good shots on 16. Had 15 feet for birdie. Just slid by, you know, and I still needed one more in the last two to be able to do it. And hit an incredible shot on 17. Was somehow able to get the putt to go in from about 6 feet, despite the fact that my hands were shaking. And so at this point, I just needed par on 18, which I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but great drive down the middle, 3-iron, and hit an 8-iron. I think adrenaline caught in a little bit just over the back of the green, but was able to get up and down, and I'm not sure I've been more nervous on a 3-footer in my life.
A pretty amazing performance, lots of pressure, obviously playing for history. I thought it was really going to – I know it's hard to go back-to-back low on the PGA Tour, but I thought the fact that he went from the La Quinta Country Club golf course to a different golf course the next day, so he didn't have to go through the same visual process,
right.
I thought it might help him. At the end of the day – it did help him. You know, he one putt the last four greens, Bob, on the Sunday to only miss Hudson Swafford by one. So he certainly didn't lose that golf tournament. Hudson Swafford won it. And hats off to Hudson Swafford, who made a mess of the 17th hole and 18th hole the previous day on the stadium course and was able to bury those demons and play those holes brilliantly on the Sunday to capture the title. But Adam Hadwin, what were your thoughts, I guess, originally when it happened? What was your reaction to 59? And also to his play on the Sunday?
You know, I think the 59, first of all, when you see Adam, he's always got a bit of a swagger to him. And some people, I know in talking to his agent, he said that there's some guys on the PGA Tour who don't like Adam because they think he's cocky. But I like that kind of swagger that he carries with him when he goes out in the golf course, because if you don't think you can do it, then don't even be there. But he's always been confident in that, and in a couple of interviews that we did, in fact we ran one with him in one of our all Canadian interview shows, where he said, if I can hit one to two more greens around this year, he says it'll be an amazing year. And that's really what I think for me drove when I looked at his stats of that round and even that whole week. You know, he was starting to hit a lot more greens, and then the putter, 21 putts, right?
That's where I was going. Putting is off the charts.
But you're sitting here watching this thing going, I mean, for a little while, I'm thinking, boy, this guy's going to shoot 58. He had a chance to shoot 58. A little disappointing that he didn't win, because I think in asking him, you know, after, would you rather have the 59 or the win, I think he probably would have taken the win. Just because at this stage in his career, that would be so huge. I mean, you get that win, you get all the benefits that come with it. But it's a nice second choice to have is the 59.
Yeah, and I gotta say, you know, we've both had the opportunity to meet him multiple times. I don't find him arrogant at all.
No,
I find him a very nice young man, very genuine. And I find it confident, and I'm with you 100%. You know, the best players in the world aren't walking around sheepish with their shoulders slouching over, right? Now, you know, the minute he wins on the PGA Tour, all those people that call him arrogant are going to call him confident the minute he wins. And that's the difference.
Exactly.
Right? That W's missing. And it could happen as early as this week. Back-to-back great weeks on the PGA Tour. He is in a tie for second right now with Brant Snedeker. One shot off Justin Rose's pace at Torrey Pines. He went 66-71. He's got another chance to win. He spoke with, was it Luke Elvey, my colleague? No, he spoke with Dennis Paulson, my colleague on PGA Tour Radio. So let's hear from Adam Hadwin and Dennis Paulson following yesterday's 71.
Adam, day two, interview two. It's good to be in this position. It was tough out there today, especially with the big change in the wind from where, about 14 to 17, your front nine.
Yeah, kind of switched directions on us, and I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. We started playing some of the tougher holes down breeze, which kind of helped, and some of the par fives as well. And but I mean, you said it, just a bit of a tough day. I mean, these courses are hard, and you know, I struck it real well off the tee. I just couldn't find the rhythm with the irons, kind of missing left and right, but short game kept me in it. It looks like I have a chance going into the weekend.
Starting on the first hole on the south course and then getting a start on the 10th on the north, a huge difference. Not going to 10 south, and the start on the first four holes on the north are insane to get your day started.
Yeah. You know, certainly I think I got a good side of the draw this week, not having to take a shot all out to 10, like you said. So, you know, took advantage of it yesterday on the south and just kind of grinded out the round today. You know, like I said, I hit it well off the tee. Just couldn't find that rhythm with the irons and made a couple putts coming down the stretch. And you know, looking forward to the next couple days.
Happy to get back out on that south course, the hard one. But you're got to be looking forward to getting back out on the tough one on the weekend.
Yeah, you know what? It should be great. You know, weather's perfect, so they can do whatever they want with the greens. They should be firming up. You know, it should be a good test of golf.
It certainly is a good test of golf. And now Tom Weisskopf redid the North course last year, so it's no longer a pushover. They were saying it was very challenging. They've had 13 inches of rain in Southern California over the last 5 weeks.
The drought is over.
That's a year of rain in a month in the San Diego area, which made the rough just so penal this week, which was a bit of a head-scratcher, as well as maybe Tiger should have come back a week earlier.
Yeah.
And like what Phil did. And Phil's looked pretty good. You know, Phil did not have the week at Torrey that he wanted, but he made the cut. He played pretty solid last week at the Career Builder Challenge. So, you know, Phil easing his way back in after two hernias operations over the winter, but Phil looking really good for someone who'll be 47 years old this year, right?
He is really... I mean, as well as he plays, as far as he hits it for 47, it's unbelievable, really. He's kept himself in pretty decent shape for a guy who earlier in his career was kind of a bag of milk.
Yeah. A.W. root beer bear for a while.
Exactly.
Right?
But I think he's that's helped him.
So Adam Hadwin, now though, Bob, again with and like you said, before we ran the audio, winning would be more important at this point in his career. Let's remember, 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Automatically throws himself into the FedEx Cup playoffs and now gets to build and put himself in a position to maybe get to that Tour Championship top 30. And let's not forget, come the end of September, Liberty National Golf Club, it's a President's Cup year. We remember back in 2013, Graham DeLette playing alongside Jason Day, and what we thought that would do for Graham DeLette. Now there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of issues with Graham, and maybe that's unfair to look back and say, why wasn't that a trampoline to bigger, better things? But you know that Adam Hadwin would not be scared at all of a President's Cup spotlight.
No, I think, I mean, he loves the spotlight. He loves to be in the interview areas after the rounds. I mean, he knows what that means to him. And I think he's got that talent. I think right now you look at where he's jumping up on the world ranking. I mean, if he could ever get himself inside the top 50 before the Masters, you know, there's a shot there if he doesn't happen to get the win. So I just like the way he's playing. His swing looks, boy, his swing has such great tempo. It's so smooth.
I love how short his swing is with his irons.
Yeah.
It is so compact. It is so, there's no moving parts.
Very tight.
Yeah, it's
very
so tight. I love that.
And I think that right now he's just riding the confidence and you know how fleeting that can be in the world of golf. So take it while you can, and we'll see how far you can go with it.
Okay, before we go to break, one question for you. He has a chance to win right now, but it's 36. If we get to Sunday again and we're in the same scenario we were last Sunday and he doesn't win, is it too early for that to be an issue, or are we starting to get to where you and I have discussed with Graham and potentially a little bit with David as well, where you get to that opportunity so many times and it doesn't happen, and now you start battling the demons that, well, you know, the last time I was in this position, it didn't happen, and it almost becomes a too big an elephant in the room. And I'm not saying we're there with Graham or David, but that's certainly part of the discussion. If he gets there again Sunday, is it too early to have that conversation, or is that damaging if he gets there Sunday and doesn't get it done?
I think it depends. You sort of mentioned it earlier. I think it depends on how it happens because, as you said, Hudson Swafford really beat Adam last week. He didn't lose the tournament. He played really well down the stretch, made some great birdies, especially that one on 17 right on top of Swafford. So I think that's what it'll take. I think, you know, if he plays and misses three putts the last two greens, then maybe you start to think about it. But I think right now he's riding such a high that if he plays well and doesn't win, I don't think it'll be a detriment to him.
All right. On the other side, we're going to hear from Justin Rose. We'll do a leaderboard update from around the world of golf. We've also got some contests with Golf Talk Canada to keep you up to date on coming this year on GTC. You are listening to the Season 7 debut of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Our Season 7 debut. Before we jump into a leaderboard report, just a few updates on Golf Talk Canada. We've been doing 20 weeks of TaylorMade for the last two, three seasons on radio and television.
Tell me something.
It comes back.
Oh,
okay. We're doing it again. 20 weeks of TaylorMade will return Masters Week. Yeah, because you and I will be in Augusta.
Yep.
And we'll do radio and television from Augusta National. And we will kick off our 20 weeks of TaylorMade 2017.
There's a lot of great stuff from TaylorMade this year.
Yeah. It's going to be a big year. That ball. Wow. I hit it, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. Remember, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but I hit the ball. Oh, my God.
It's great, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I actually noticed the difference. Because normally I don't, right? I don't know. I'm not good enough to notice the difference. It's white. It's round. Let's hit it, right?
That's right.
I noticed the difference. It bites around the green, and I swear to God I was carrying it further, even in Florida.
Wow.
Where, you know, you're sea level and it's a swamp, right?
Yeah,
this was over the holidays,
exactly.
Right? So. Really good job there. New contest coming up this summer on the heels of 20 weeks of TaylorMade. It's going to be Adidas Golf Show Us Your Stripes Canada.
Ooh, I like that one.
And we're going to do a social media where we're going to be doing Instagram and Facebook for asking our listeners and our viewers to send in their pics of them dressing their Adidas gear, showing their stripes, maybe even doing their best Sergio or a DJ impression, something along those lines. And more details on all this stuff. But it's coming up in April. And, of course, follow us on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada. You can even start doing that now if you want to enter. It's free. And now, also, Golf Talk Canada, Bob, available on iTunes.
Yeah.
So if you
download it.
Yeah, if you download. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, so you just get that automatic download, you've increased your chances to win over $10,000 worth of TaylorMade product this year and over $5,000 of Adidas product this year. And Golf PEI has put up a VIP trip for four at the end of the year to our grand prize. All you got to do, all you got to do is follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our podcast.
Wonder if oysters are included.
That's no. I think Mark McLean's got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. Let's do a leaderboard report. Farmers Insurance Open. Justin Rose has the lead, 8 under par, 1-shot lead over Adam Hadwin and Brant Snedeker. Of course, 36 to go in this one. Other Canadians on the board. Mackenzie Hughes is already 1 on the PGA Tour this season. He's at 4 under par. Lots of Canadians in this one, Bob. Graham Dillette, 3 under par. Keep going further down. I know Nick Taylor had a good start. Yeah, there's Brad Fritch and Nick Taylor both at 1 under par. Let's hear from our leader, Justin Rose.
Well, Justin, you and I had a little gig of walking off 18. I said, what a grind that was. How would you describe that round?
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously out there watching it and walking it. I mean, it was I was in control. A really good start to my round. I hit the first 10 greens in regulation, missed the 11th, but made a great save. I had another chance at 13 to go maybe 3 under for the round, so it was going really smoothly. But then you turn back into the breeze on 14 and 15 and 16 and crosswind at 17 and into the breeze at 18. And it felt like as you turned into the tougher holes, it felt like the greens kind of suddenly got a little bit bobbly too. So, you know, or at least it felt that way, because that's kind of when the course got tougher coming in, you were kind of faced with more 6-footers for par. And those were a tough prospect out there.
I thought your play, as you mentioned, right up to the 10th hole including, was just flawless. That up and down on 11, one of the best I'd imagine you've had in a long time. What's it like when you find yourself playing so smooth and all of a sudden you hit an errant shot out of nowhere and you're then going to try and refine swings?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was tough, but I accepted that, you know, it was tough for everybody out there, and you know, I was still in good position. And you know, Foot said something good to me going down 16. He said it's all about just being in the mix for the weekend. You know, everyone's played both courses now, and now we get to play the Bruiser for the next 2 days. So you just want to basically put yourself within shot. And I actually think the cut mark, even par, if it's what it's going to be, is incredibly low for 2 days around here.
Even par is low. Surprise leader, Justin Rose, because he's missed the cut back-to-back years of this event. Mm-hmm. Surprised to see him having success, but good on Justin. Bob, what about European Tour? What's happening?
European Tour, of course, is in the Middle East, and it's the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, and there was a huge logjam. There was, at the start of the third round, which is underway right now, there were 28 players within 2 shots of the lead.
Okay.
So now
Maybe a playoff coming?
Yeah, maybe be a 3-day playoff, I think. Zheng-Yung Wang from Korea, South Korea, is taking the lead, though. He is at 15 under par, followed by Jaco van Zyl, the Olympian from South Africa. And my favoritely named golfer, Nacho Elvira, is also at 12 under. Thomas Aiken at 11, and a whole gaggle of players chasing them.
When I was younger, I could handle the Nacho Elvira, but now it gives me heartburn. So, on the LPGA Tour, Pure Silk Bahamas, LPGA Classic, Brittany Lincecum with the lead there, 17 under par, 1-shot lead over a rededicated, retooled Lexi Thompson. Worked hard on her golf swing over the offseason, and it's paying off. She shot 61 yesterday to get within 1 shot of Brittany Lincecum's lead. Of course, Brooke Henderson playing well. Started off a little rough with the 71, 65. Followed up yesterday. She's 10 under, 7 off the pace, and a tie for 7 with 36 to go. No surprise there, Bob, that Brooke Henderson starting off the season well.
Yeah, and a good bounce back round also for Elena Sharp, who came back. She was 74 first round, 68, so she made the cut. I think Motomi LeBlanc just made the cut. She's at 3 under, and Jennifer Ha and AC Tange were on the wrong side. They have the weekend off, but that's not a bad place to have the weekend off in the Bahamas.
No, not at all. And I think Elena Sharp's going to win this year.
I think she is too. I think she, talking about confidence, we were talking about that with Adam Hadwin. I think last year, working with Tristan Mullally with the Olympic program, being an Olympian, I think that gave her so much confidence. She was not a very confident person to begin with, I think, when she came in. The last couple of years, I think she's kind of doubted herself a little bit. I don't think those are doubts that are there anymore.
Before we say goodbye, Bob, to our national audience, because we will say goodbye, unless you're listening online at iHeartRadio or at tsn.ca. You can listen in the next 30 minutes. For those listening in Hamilton on 1150, 1050 in Toronto, we have 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada coming up. Winners, Weird and What is back. Also, we're going to hear from Brad Parkins, who's the COO of the Toronto Golf Show. That's coming up at the end of February. We're going to give away 2 passes to the Toronto Golf Show. So we're going to do that for the next 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to start that coming up next on GTC. So always like the Toronto Golf Show because it means the thaw's coming. We talked a lot of Tiger today. We touched on Phil. I picked Phil Mickelson to win on the West Coast this year of 2017. I was just one of my throw it against the wall. But who wins first, Bob? Tiger or Phil in 2017 on the PGA Tour?
Well, if I had to put money on it, I'd say Phil. I think he's playing pretty well, despite those sports hernia operations. I mean, he was pretty good last week, and I just think that he's a little more up to speed right now than Tiger is.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way, and the fact that, he's two cuts in a row, was in the hunt last week, I think he's coming into a hallway of golf courses he really likes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. All right, that does it for us, for our national audience. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you now download the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes to Golf Talk Canada for your chance to win over $10,000 worth of TaylorMade product this year, as well as over $5,000 of Adidas product. Also, follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada to increase your chances. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to our Season 7 debut, Golf Talk Canada, as we give you the bonus 30 minutes for you lucky people listening at iHeartRadio or online at tsn.ca. And of course, 11:50 in Hamilton, 10:50 in the T-Dot. And don't forget, we are now available on iTunes. So subscribe to iTunes. And Bob, I can't wait, by the way, to get to St. Kitts next week. And my travel schedule is insane, but I'm going to get to go down to St. Kitts for the Admiral's Cup. It's the 7th Admiral's Cup. It's a big pro-am they have.
Do you have to wear like a sailor hat?
I will be in full sailor gear. Right? I will be in Mr. Howell III.
Thurston?
Thurston Howell. I'll be in the full Gilligan's Island gear. Anyway, looking forward to getting down to that. That is going to be fun, and I'll be doing radio from there as well with you. I'll be down there and calling back in and doing our thing. So, what is our thing? It's Winners, Weird, and What. And to kick off Season 7, Mr. Weeks, you have the tee, sir.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Never gets old. All right, Mark, to kick things off, my winner this week is a guy who's tied for 21st. And I actually could have switched my winner and my what, or even probably put him into the weird. But anyway, Charles Howell III. Speaking of Thurston Howell III, Charles Howell III is tied for 21st at the Farmers Insurance Open. And I am always amazed at this guy, his career. So he has been on the PGA Tour full-time since 2001. How much money do you think he's won?
I'm going to say model of consistency, 2001, so that is what? That's 15, 16 years. I'm going to say $20 million.
So he has won $31 million.
Oh, my Lord.
He is the 23rd all-time career money winner on the PGA Tour. You know how many wins he has?
Two?
Exactly. Two wins. Talk about a grinder and a guy.
Were they
who
both
just gets
in Hawaii?
I think they might be
at the Sony Open, both right. Of them. I gotta be honest with you.
But isn't that weird how you would never think that about Charles Howell,
no, the guy. Incredible.
The guy who just
So are you telling me that if I can shoot even par every week on the PGA Tour, right, I could have $30 million in the bank?
You probably could.
I better start chipping.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's an amazing stat about a guy that you just never would have thought that Charles Howell was that high up and had done that well, but there he is. My weird this week was a tweet that was sent out by Bubba Watson that showed his son palling around with none other than Justin Bieber.
Oh, there's a role model for
that's
your
all I'm going to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
The two
Lord.
Of them were together at some sporting event. I think Bubba was there, and there was a picture that he tweeted out. And Justin Bieber and Bubba Watson are pals. I just want you to know that. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, geez, that's incredible.
They're buddies.
Somehow I dislike them both more now.
I don't think
that was possible. But.
Justin's actually quite a good golfer.
He's not a bad golfer.
He's not a bad golfer. So that's how
he trashes a mean hotel room.
That's
as
how
well.
He actually started. Do you know this whole career? He used to play up in Stratford, golf up at Stratford, and he was busking on the corner singing to try and get money. People would pay him money so he could pay for his green fees to go out and play golf.
You're kidding me. I have more respect for him now. Yeah, all of a sudden, I'm a Bieber fan.
That's right. Made the YouTube video and the rest is
history. That was it. Yeah, I remember the YouTube video. I didn't know the golf connection, though, there, Bob.
Now, my what, which also could be my weird, or it could be my winner, I suppose, it's Hunter Mahan. Speaking of guys with weird careers, Hunter Mahan last year made the 9 cuts in 22 events, fell to 183rd on the FedEx Cup standings.
And that's been the last, what, 2-3 seasons? Just kind of lost in obscurity?
Started 2 years ago. He won $1,600,000 2 years ago. Last year, only won $230,000.
Poor guy.
He just made his first cut of the year. He missed the first 5 cuts in the fall series, and he's made his first cut of the year. He's now tied for 21st, heading to the weekend. What a weird and
you know, this was a guy career. That was and here's your where this was a Ryder Cupper. This guy where you put him Ryder Cup, President's Cup, you penciled him in at the Tour Championship every year.
Yeah.
He was a multiple winner. He was on the long side of the list when you were going down, maybe a guy to watch for majors, maybe one of the better players without a major, on the outside of that conversation, but certainly there. Wow, how quickly it goes away. And I know he did go through some personal issues, right?
Yeah, and he's dedicated himself to his family. He's got kids and stuff, everything at home. But so that's all kind of been taking time. But, boy, it's a long fall, and hopefully he can climb back.
All right, Bob, the tea is mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Bob, my winner this week's real simple. Team Canada when it comes to golf on the PGA Tour. Man, hey, here we are. We're just starting our season. We've barely got the head cover off the driver yet. And Mackenzie Hughes already with a win on the PGA Tour. He won in Sea Island at the RSM Classic in the first half of the wraparound season. Did it in style. Great on him. We have a 59 from Adam Hadwin last week. We've already got more Canadian golf stories this year than we had all of last year, okay? Exactly. When it comes to the men's game, with all due respect to Brooke Henderson, of course, she's
they're just starting. Huge,
really. They're just, you know, but unbelievable the fact that we have this much news already, and good on them. And now this week, Adam Hadwin with another chance to win again. Mackenzie Hughes 4-under par. He's only 4 off the lead. Don't count him out of this golf tournament. Nick Taylor playing well. Brett Fritsch playing well. Graham DeLette looking like he has signs of life playing well. This could be a really good year for golf pros in Canada.
I think at one point during the first round, there were 4 guys within the top 12. It was just Canadian flags all over the leaderboard. It was really kind of neat to see. But I think you're right. I think this could be a really exciting year where we get maybe multiple wins from Canadians. And we already got one in the bank, so we just need one more for that to happen. But I'm with you. I think this could be a good year for Canadian golf.
Now, my weird, I know you love this. You were all over this. This is beautiful. This is now the Web.com Tour. I have to applaud them for trying something outside the box. They're starting their season in the Bahamas, the first few weeks of the year in the Bahamas, and they're doing Sunday to Wednesday finishes. And the reason, I know that sounds bizarre, and it is my weird, but the fact that they had some guts to try something different, so that they wouldn't go toe-to-toe with the PGA Tour the opening part of the season. They're going to finish on a Wednesday. We all know Golf Channel loves content Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's where they really need content. And the Web.com Tour will have the eyes of the golf world solely on them for rounds 2, 3, and 4 of their opening events. The problem is the East Coast of the United States and Canada, along with the Caribbean, are getting some horrible winter weather.
Yes, they are.
The winds have been horrific, like 40-mile-per-hour wind, stuff that they called the Champions Tour opening event due to 40-mile-per-hour winds. Right. And they're getting that same kind of wind over on the East Coast of the Bahamas. It led to some horrific rounds in the opening events of the Web.com Tour. One gentleman in specific, Greg Eason, who plays on the Web.com Tour, he opened his season with 91, 95, and 90. Couldn't break 90 to start the year. Well, what did he do in his second round of the Abaco Classic, which was his 4th round of the season? He shot a bogey-free 68. He hit Twitter, and he said, I've taken a lot of scrutiny over my last few rounds. I just like to say, blank yourself. Told everybody off. 68 bogey free this year.
We should point out he had the absolute worst of the weather in all 3 of those first rounds. And he said at one point he lost 32 balls. I think he was semi-serious. But it was pretty horrific.
Now, for my what this week, if we had been doing this show possibly last week as our debut, the USGA may have actually found themselves into my winners column, because the USGA, along with the RNA, are looking at ways, and you and I spoke about this back in December when, you know, this conversation started, about simplifying the rules of the game. And they're about to do that. They're going to come out with some great new revisions to the game of golf, which we will adapt here in Canada. Long overdue. About, you know, eliminating different colored stakes and using red stakes as, you know, the primary hazard line. And we're talking about even eliminating club lengths as the measuring tool on where you drop, and we're going to allow them people to fix spike marks on the putting surface. So there's a lot of great rule changes coming, and good on the USGA. But then what do? As you said off mic to me, one step forward, two steps back. Bryson DeChambeau has been putting side saddle on the PGA Tour since the start of this 2016-17 campaign. And he's been using a center-shafted mallet putter that he created alongside his team, and I'm sure the people at Cobra were involved in this as well, who he's a staff member of. And the USGA has come out to him and said, we're watching your putting style. We can't call it illegal, but we don't like it. Hold on a sec. Sam Snead won a large bucket of PGA Tour events, putting side saddle. This is not new. They said to him, it eliminates the skill involved. It eliminates the skill involved. The whole planet would be putting side saddle,
yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Then they told him that his new putter is deemed illegal, and they're going to ban it, but they can't tell him why. So, hold on. So, if you don't know, if you haven't done your due diligence, and you don't know why it's illegal, and you can't tell him within the rules of the game why his putter is illegal yet, why are you saying anything at all? Like, do your due diligence, do your number crunching, and say, hey, this is illegal because it falls into this, and tell him why. You can't tell him why. This is, again, USGA, just like the belly putter, just like most of the stuff they hang
like
their
Dustin
hat on.
Johnson went, and we think you may have broken a rule, but we'll tell you at the end.
We'll tell you at the end. Exactly. It's like they don't like the optics of something, and they go out and they throw up all over the mic. They just spew it out, and it's like, guys, you're doing so well, and you're thinking the right way, and you don't come out there, and a story like this gets out there, and it hits the media, and I'm like, hold on a sec, man. Don't just, we think you broke a rule. We think it's illegal. We don't like the way it looks. Optics has nothing to do with this. You've got to simplify this thing from start to finish. It is either legal or it is not legal. There is no in-between
here,
Bob.
That's right. Exactly right.
I can't believe I'm this angry
okay.
already.
Calm it's down January now. Calm down. It's only week one.
Oh, we could have a long 2017. On the other side, it's Toronto Golf Show season. We're going to give away two tickets to the Toronto Golf Show. We're also going to hear from Brad Parkins, who is the COO of the Canadian Junior Golf Association, the CGGA. They'll be at the show, and they're celebrating 25 years. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to the season debut of GTC. Toronto Golf Show is back. It's Canada's largest golf show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. Go to torontogolfshow.com for more information. We have two passes to give away. First person to call us at 416-870-1050. That's 870-1050. The first person to call us and let us know any of Bob's winners, weird, or what for the previous segment. You give us one of Bob's winners, weird, or what, you're going to win two passes to the Toronto Golf Show. That's 416-870-1050. 870-1050. Give us one of Bob's either winner, weird, or what, and you're going to the Toronto Golf Show for free. Now, At the Toronto Golf Show, there's a lot of great stuff. If you're, you know, thinking of travel, you're looking for instruction, equipment, etc., there's lots to do at the Toronto Golf Show. But one of the people that are there every year is the Canadian Junior Golf Association. They are celebrating 25 years. Good on them. Brad Parkin, COO, he joined me the other day to talk a little bit about what they're doing at the golf show. They've got an Arnold Palmer Memorial Wall going, as well as their 25th anniversary. Let's hear from Brad Parkins.
Joining me now, the COO of the CGGA, the Canadian Junior Golf Association, Mr. Brad Parkins. Brad, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today on Golf Talk Canada. February 24th to 26th is the Toronto Golf Show. You'll be a part of it. As always, 25 years. Where has the time gone? I can't believe you're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Canadian Junior Golf Association.
Yeah, no, certainly, Mark. Greatly appreciate being on with you, and thanks for having us. You know, 25 years has come and gone fairly quickly. You know, it's not too far removed from 1993 when our founder, Earl Fritz, started the Canadian Junior Golf Association, seven events in the province of Ontario, and now we're operating, you know, a six-stage competitive development program, over 100 competitions across the country for junior golfers aged 5 to 18 years of age. Phenomenal growth that we've seen, and, you know, as we see it on tour now, you know, the fruits of the labor are coming to fruition. I know you had the luxury of calling Adams 59, you know, on the radio, PGA Tour radio, and, you know, Adam was an alumni of our program, so we're certainly excited to be celebrating our 25th anniversary. Still lots to be done, and lots that we can put into giving back to the juniors and providing them with an opportunity and a pathway, but the 25 years that we've had has certainly flown by, but we're excited for the next 25.
Yeah, incredible alumni, Ricky Fowler, Adam Hadwin, as you outlined, Harris English, there's so many great players have come through the program. Now, obviously, it's a great place to develop your game, develop getting kids involved in tournament golf. And obviously the path, as you've just mentioned, with some of the alumni to maybe making a living. But there's other lessons here to be made. And there's other reasons why you would get your kid involved with the Canadian Junior Golf Association. So talk a little bit about what, you know, what the young boys and girls get from being a part of this tour and some of the lessons along the way.
You know, not only do we provide the competitive opportunities and get them into tournament golf, but, you know, right from the age of five, getting them involved in the program, you know, they learn life skills, the etiquette of the game, shaking hands with your fellow competitors, being considerate, you know, building character, honesty, integrity, you know, all the pillars of the game of golf certainly are ones that we really push on to the juniors and the parents and get them, you know, engaged in those characteristics through the game of golf. And again, it's a game that lasts forever, that you can play for a long time. You know, the one nice thing about the program is the camaraderie that the kids build with each other. You know, they come out through our Linkster program 5, 6, 7 years of age, and you see them when they're teenagers, you know, and they're still friends. They're still playing together. They're going to each other's clubs. They're engaged in extracurricular activities outside the golf course with each other. You know, so it's that friendship, it's that bond, the camaraderie, you know, everything that goes into just building, you know, the pillars of you know, a solid individual and life skills that, again, that they can take with them. It's a great opportunity to get out in the sunshine, the fresh air, walking the golf course, and, again, building the camaraderie and friendships with your fellow competitors.
We're with Brad Parkins. He's the CEO, COO of the Canadian Junior Golf Association. They'll be at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show February 24th to 26 at the International Center in Mississauga. Brad, considering we're talking about a show here in Ontario, when does your Ontario season get started? And I guess parents can just come with their kids or come out and sign up right at the golf show, or at least learn more. If they're interested in finding out more, they can come out and meet and greet at the Toronto Golf Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Ontario schedule kicks off the third week of April down in the Niagara region for the Junior Tour, and the following week in the GTA for our Linkster program. And once we hit that date, we kind of go every weekend right until the kids are out of school, and then there's opportunities for the kids throughout the summer to compete as well. And you know, at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, we'll be there in two different capacities. We'll have our traditional booth and promoting the Canadian Junior Golf Association. association and, you know, what we do, what we stand for, what the kids will get out of being a part of the program. And we'll also have another area where you'll be able to be a little bit interactive and have a chance to hit some golf shots, play some fun games, and interact with some of the CJGA staff in that respect. But certainly they can sign up for membership right at the show and learn a little bit more about the CJGA programming as well and meet the staff that'll be on site.
And Brad, before we let you go, obviously a great loss in the world of golf last year with Arnold Palmer. I know there's going to be a lot of tributes, a lot of memorials happening throughout the entire golf season because of the power and the reach of this man. CGGA also doing something with Arnold Palmer Memorial Wall at the golf show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We're going to establish the Arnold Palmer Memorial Wall, and with a nominal donation, and all the proceeds will go back to the Canadian Junior Golf Association to help assist in the junior programming that we offer the kids. Individuals will have the opportunity to write a note, a memory, you know, something that that Arnie touched them with, you know, through his involvement with the game. And at the end of the show, we're going to have that delivered down to his country club, Latrobe Country Club. This is our opportunity to make a note in memory of Arnold and pass it on back to his country club.
Brad, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. I just think you guys do such a wonderful job with the tour, the development, and touching young people's lives in Canada. So great job, and keep it going. Let's go at least another 25. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mark. Greatly appreciate it.
CJGA.com. It's CJGA.com, Canadian Junior Golf Association. Visit them at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th.
I'm talking over myself there. Did you?
I thought maybe
done
cool,
that before.
A cool segment we could start next week is you interviewing yourself.
Now that's good. That's gold. That's radio gold, Bob, is what that is. Toronto Golf Show, 24th to 26th, International Center of Mississauga. And go out and check it out. It's always fun. We only got about a minute left in the show, Bob. Before we wrap up, I just got the recent Masters odds from our friends behind the glass here. And they told me that Tiger Woods is 20-1. That's better than Phil Mickelson, Brant Snedeker, and a host of world-class players that are playing great right now. How much drugs is the golf community on if Tiger's 20-1 to win the Masters? Like, what should he be right now?
100-1, probably.
Yeah, 100-1.
Right.
What about 20-1 to make the cut? Is that not a better bet in line?
I would. That would be an intriguing bet.
Right.
20-1.
Like 21 to make the
not
cut, you
win.
Might go, okay, unbelievable. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you again, all our sponsors, for their support so that we can do Season 7 with you. Of course, by the way, Golf Talk Canada Television returns in March as well, so we'll be back again, Bob and I, every week on TV. Bob, good to be back in the saddle. We'll be back next week to do Golf Talk Canada.
Always fun.
Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in a closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.